Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God, praise God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Give me some volume, guys. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. When I walked in, I saw something that I've never seen before. And in this vision, I saw this beautiful island. And this island had these, all around the perimeter of the island, it had these beautiful, gorgeous palm trees and nothing that we've seen around here. And fronting this island, there were these huge, beautiful gates. It's hard to describe what they looked like. It's just humongous gates. And they were wide open. And then there was this road headed right towards this island. Then I began to realize it wasn't just an island out in the middle of the water somewhere. This was an island in the desert. And on both sides of this road, there was nothing but barrenness, dry, sand, weeds. I mean, there was nothing there, nothing there. Then as I began to look down the road, the Holy Spirit said, "You know what that place is?" I said, "What?" He said, "That place is the place of receiving." And you're on this road. And that place of receiving is where I desire to take you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Because there's so many things. Amen. That many of us, God's people, you know, we've been struggling for. But they're right there in the midst of that island oasis, so to speak. But it's not an oasis, it's a reality. It's not a figment of just a wild imagination. It's a place in the Spirit. And it's a place of receiving. And we're going to go there today. Will you go there with me? All right, well, let's go there. Thank you, guys. You can be seated. Let's go there. And let's allow the Lord to lead and guide us today so that we can enter into this place of receiving that He has for us. I got some things we need to receive.
Amen.
Amen. Got some big things we need to receive. What about you? You got some big things? Don't get all quiet on me. Have you got some big things you need to receive? You receive more when you respond more. So let's respond to the Holy Ghost today. Praise God and see where He takes us. And I'm expecting some things today. Some things are going to show up today. I said some things are going to show up today. I believe your things are going to show up today. And so we've been in this series that I've entitled Faith, God's Delivery System. And one of the foundational scriptures that we've been using the last few weeks is this in 2 Corinthians 4:16 from the Mirror. It says, "We have much reason to be brave. There might be a lot of wear and tear on the outside, but don't be distracted by that. On the inside, we are celebrating daily revival."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you remember last week we talked about faith being the fuse that ignites the power of God. Remember that?
Amen.
Faith is the fuse that ignites the power of God. Revival is the result of a proper, now listen to this. Revival is the result of a proper faith response to what God has already said to us in His Word. Now you got to catch that because we're going somewhere. Revival is the result of a proper, everybody say proper, faith response. Say faith response.
Faith response.
It's the result of a proper faith response to what God has already said to us in His Word. Faith is God's delivery system. It's how things are delivered unto us. Amen? Remember, we said this last week, and it bears repeating again today. You can never ask God for something so big that it will bankrupt heaven. Amen? So we got to eradicate this type of thinking from our heart and from our mind. So no matter what it is that you ask the Lord for, amen, no matter how big or how small that you think it is, it's just, remember we talked about this, it's like a drop or a piece of a piece of a piece of a mist, whatever that looks like, in the vast Pacific Ocean. Amen? Just doesn't even, amen? Amen? So we need to learn how to receive better than we have received before. Amen? So we need to learn how to ask big. Now, let's talk about how faith is connected to our asking. I want you to hear this today. Don't tune me out. But you hear every word of this because we're going somewhere, right? I want us all to get there. So when I talk about asking God for something, I'm not talking about begging and pleading God to do something new for you. Now, did you hear me? So when I'm talking about asking God to do something, I'm not asking or talking about you asking or you pleading and begging Him to try to get Him to do something new for you. Whenever you are faced with a need, you need to learn how to respond properly in the face of that need. Faith is actually how we are to respond to the provision that has been made available to us in Christ. Yes. Amen. Amen? Or we could say it this way, faith is how we receive. Faith is how we receive. Faith is for receiving whatever it is that you may need. Jesus died on the cross once and for all. Now, this is something we have to settle. I mean, we say these words, but if we really understood these words, that Jesus died on the cross once and for all, we would be down there in the middle of that island already. Amen. Jesus died on the cross once and for all. He died to make salvation available to every man, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. He died not only to make provision for us to enter into heaven when we leave this earth, but He also made provision for us to receive heaven while we're here. Amen? Faith pleases God. That's what Hebrews 11 tells us, right? Faith pleases God. It pleases God when we learn how to exercise our faith to receive all that the blood of Jesus has made available to us in every arena of life, total life prosperity. Total life. Now, it's a fight of faith. Amen. But we can do it. And you can do it. Amen. You know, many of us, you know, we argue and we fuss and we fight over sickness and disease. Shouldn't do it around here, but, you know, you may run into somebody every once in a while about that being the will of God and, you know, it's just my thorn in my side or my cross to bear. And, you know, I've heard so many of these religious things and it's not good. And when they have that type of mentality, then they fail to exercise faith to receive. So consequently, they stay sick. And disease stays. Right? And they begin to allow reason to hinder them from entering into this place of receiving. Right? And there are people that will fight you over prosperity. Oh, they will. They'll fight you over prosperity. Big time. Consequently, never fully enter into all that God has made available for us financially. Amen? In order for us to live a comfortable life and be a blessing to the world around us, then we're going to have to press into this place of receiving. Amen? You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is exactly that, the gospel. It's good news. We must never forget that. Amen. I'm thankful for the gospel because the gospel changed my life. The gospel is good news to me. It's not bad news. Amen. Anything that's been preached that's bad news, it's not gospel. Gospel is good news. Amen. Gospel is good news. Salvation is good news. Amen. Healing is good news. Prosperity is good news. Lack is bad news. Damnation to a devil's hell, that's bad news. Well, sometimes God heals, sometimes he doesn't. Well, that's bad news. Amen. But the true gospel is good news, and I prefer good news. I want to hear good news. Don't you want to hear good news? We should all just make up our minds in every area of our life, no matter what's going on. Don't come to me with bad news unless you have a solution to the bad news. Don't come to me with problems. Staff, amen. Don't come to us with a big, long list of problems. What you think about this and what you think about that and what you think about this person, what you think about that. Don't come to me with that mess. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, this is good. Praise God. I prefer good news. The good news is we don't have to be sick and we don't have to be broke another day in our lives. That's good news. That's something you can ask my wife. That's something that I decree and declare 9 times out of 10 whenever we're praying over meals. Father, I thank you that we will never be sick and we will never be broke another day in our lives. Isn't that true, honey? Amen?
Amen.
Never be sick. Never be broke another day in our lives. So let's turn to Romans chapter 1. We're going to look at some things here in Romans. Since we're talking about the gospel, let's look at Romans 1. Romans 1, you know this, in verse 16. New Living, of course, it says this. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. All right? I'm not ashamed about this good news about Jesus. Yes, absolutely. But he didn't say that here. He said, I'm not ashamed of this good news about who?
Christ.
Christ, or the anointed one and his anointing, the anointing that is on him. In other words, this is good news. Jesus is anointed.
Yeah, it is.
Amen. To bring to you whatever it is that you need. I'm not ashamed of this good news, this gospel, the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes. Notice that. So when you receive the gospel, or the gospel is preached, it has the potential there to save everyone who believes. So the condition is believing. Amen. And if you aren't believing the good news, then you're not going to receive the fruit of the good news. I want us to receive the fruit of it. We need to learn what it means to believe again. Amen. Believe the best of God. Believe the best of other people.
Amen.
Boy, we could camp on that a while. Amen. Believe the best about others. Don't let your personal feelings and don't let what somebody else said get there under your skin and then begin to warp your thinking and warp your what you think about this and what you think about that one and what you think about this one. And no matter who they are, from the pulpit to the pew. Amen. Choose to believe the best and allow the Lord to sort out the details of it. That's none of your business. If it was true, it's none of your business. Are you here? Amen. But if you're listening to it, 99.9% of the time, it's just the accuser of the brethren. And who is that? Satan. See, he comes to hinder people. He comes to run interference while we are on this road, doesn't he, Marlon? Amen. Because he doesn't want us getting down here and entering into this place of receiving. And so he'll bring up all kinds of stuff and disguise it as God. He's an angel of light. Well, I sense this in my spirit, or I got this, you know. Yeah, the gift of suspicion. And it's not a gift, and it's a curse. And it ain't from God. It ain't the Holy Ghost. I don't know how many times I've heard people say things like that. Amen? Oh, right here in my spirit. Well, just because you say something is right here in your spirit, it doesn't mean that it's the Holy Spirit. It could be a religious spirit in your spirit, and you need to renew your mind, and you need to turn loose of that. Yeah, Corinthians says love believes the best. Amen. If we're going to live fully revived lives and enter into this place, then we're going to have to learn how to put all these other things aside and grow up and find what it really means to be a Christian. A Christian. Amen. Oh, say it with me. I'm going to believe the best. I'm not going to believe the worst. And I'm going to trust God to sort out the details. And I'm going to mind my own business. See, you got enough in your own household to take care of. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ." This good news, this gospel. It says, "It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." In other words, it's available for everybody, right? This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. You need to underline that. That's the gospel. The gospel is, it tells us how God makes us right in whose sight? His sight. Not in your sight. He doesn't make people right with Him based on what you think about them. That's good preaching, Pastor. I know it. Amen. He doesn't make people, it says, He makes people right in His sight. Not your sight about you, not your sight about others, but His sight. Aren't you thankful? Because I've had some bad sight about others. That ever happened to you? Oh my gosh, because if it was up to me, flush them down the toilet, Jack. Amen. But that's not the love of God. That's not the grace of God. That's not the righteousness of God. Amen. Oh, we should read that again. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish. How? By faith. By faith. So then we are right in His sight, Rosie. How? By faith. Faith enables us to receive this place, this position with God called righteousness. Amen. Amen. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Now see, many of us, we argue with our righteousness, our new righteousness. We argue with it. We argue about this position. Righteousness is this island. It's this place of receiving. Right? And so then we argue with our answer. We argue with the word. We argue with ourselves. We argue with God. We argue with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We argue with this one and we argue with that one. And we get in agreement with some. Hello? Amen?
Amen.
Oh, but we're growing, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you thankful for that? But it is through faith that a righteous person has life.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want life. Jesus came to give us life. Life in abundance to the full until it overflows. Let's read the Amplified. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," good news of Christ, "for it is God's power working unto salvation, for deliverance from eternal death, to everyone who believes with a personal trust and a confident surrender and firm reliance to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for in the gospel a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosing through the way of faith that arouses to more faith. Oh my gosh, that's a mouthful right there. That's a heartful. That's a spiritful right there. Amen. In other words, it's a journey. Right? Amen. Let's read it again. For in the gospel, in this good news, a righteousness which God ascribes or God gives is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith. Well, you get caught by faith here. Amen. Disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith, as it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Hallelujah. Now, here's where the trouble is in the operation of our faith to receive all that the blood of Jesus bought and paid for on our behalf. We truly don't see ourselves and others the way that the Father sees us as the righteousness of God. And the reason why it's so important to keep your eyes, you know, off of others and everybody else's life and you concentrate on doing what you're supposed to do is because if you begin to get critical of others and you begin to get, over here, you know, well, they this and they that and, you know, this person this, then that's going to hinder yourself. Because that outlook that you have on others generally stems from a place within you that's not right. And an outlook on yourself that is not right. Oh, that's not true. Oh, it is. If you allow the Holy Ghost to work and to reveal these things, you'll begin to see that. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So then, we need to learn how to see ourselves the way that the Father sees us as the righteousness of God. Righteousness is our position with God, and faith enables us to receive all that that position entails. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Let me give you some scriptures. Because we're going somewhere. We're going to this island. The gates are open. Amen. You don't have to get caught up on the price of anything. Amen. The most expensive price that you have to pay is your faith and believing. Learn to believe. Learn to believe. If you ever get critical of anything like that, then you're never going to have it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says from the New King James, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us." What you ought to do is you need to circle that word there, "us," and write your name there in its place. Amen. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for Wayne, that Wayne might become the righteousness of God in him." Isn't that powerful? Yeah. Amen? See, we need to settle this once and for all. "For he made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us." He took the sin away. Jesus came to take the sin away from your life and mine. He did. And because you're growing in grace and because you're growing in righteousness and because, you know, you're growing in faith and your walk with the Lord, you might hit a few bumps along the way. Amen. And that same grace that's provided this place also enables you then to repent. Now think about this, repenting of sin. We think about repenting of sin. When you repent of sin is not when God finds out about it. You go to God, well, God. You know, a person that cuts you off in traffic. You go to God, and you're like, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have acted that way. I shouldn't have said what I said. And like he didn't know it. Huh? So when you repent of sin, it's not when God finds out about something. He's known it all along. When you forget, when you ask for forgiveness or you repent of sin, is when you get free from it. And there's a difference. Amen. I want to live a lifestyle of repentance whenever I miss it. My thinking was wrong. My thinking took me off track. I can repent. Father, forgive me. And the grace of God is there saying, okay, you're forgiven. Come on. We don't shock God when we come to him with these big things. Aren't you glad? Herman, your sin never shocked God. Amen. Carol, aren't you glad? It may shock you, and the sin of others may shock you, but it never shocks God. And if some of these things don't shock God, we shouldn't allow them to shock us. We've been dealing with a situation with some pastor friends regarding one of their sheep and another state and some things that's going on there and some of the things that's happened. And, you know, we're like, in the natural, we're like, I can't believe that. I can't believe they did that. I can't believe that they would up and leave a wife and kids and all of a sudden decide after a decade that they're going to be homosexual. Oh, that's such a shock. Is it really? When you begin to think about it, you think God's shocked? Huh? Yeah, he already knew. But what's even more marvelous about it, he's already made a way of escape. Because he already knew. If he didn't already know, then
that's too good. Amen.
It could be over. Aren't you glad that he had enough love and the foresight to see and to love us in spite of us? Amen. Hallelujah. Amplified says, for our sake, he made Christ virtually to be sin, who knew no sin, that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being in, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. Wasn't that good? That's so good you should meditate on that one. Amen. Don't have time to talk about all the details of that one, but you can look it up and think about it later, meditate on that. The Living Bible puts it this way. It says, for God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Amen. Righteousness. God took the sinless Christ, the man that knew no sin, and he poured our sin into him. Then in exchange, he took his goodness, his love, his grace, and his mercy, and he poured that into us. Amen. Righteousness. Righteousness is, it means to be in a right relationship with God. And there's nothing that we can really do on our part to cause that to happen, because it's by faith we tap into this grace, because it's a free gift to us. There's nothing that we can do to earn that. Amen. So if there's nothing that we can do to earn this place of righteousness that is freely given to us as a gift, the Bible calls it the gift of righteousness. Because we couldn't, you can't earn gifts. It means that there's no strings attached to it. Right? Amen. if there's nothing that we can do to earn it, what makes us think that others should earn it? Well, if they do this and they do that, and then I'll forgive them for this, and then no. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. See, we're growing in this. Nobody has to earn anything. Speaking of the righteousness of God. Righteousness, the ability to stand in the presence of a holy God without a sense of guilt, sin, or inferiority. Amen. In and of myself, I am just as dirty and rotten, worthless as can be. But when I receive Christ, His righteousness then became my new righteousness, and so then that old righteousness is gone. So then Jesus came and He took sin once and for all. That's what they need in the prison. That's what those ladies need to hear. Amen. Let's keep going here. Now, Romans chapter 5. This is, I think every chapter is powerful. This is one of the most powerful chapters in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Let's pick this up in verse 1. It says, therefore. Well, skip up back a verse, you know, chapter 4. The last part of the verse, it says, He was handed over to die because of our sins, and He was raised to life to make us right with God. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Isn't that powerful? Isn't it great to know that you have peace with God? Amen. You have peace with God. It's a gift. This place of righteousness, this place of obtaining. You have peace with God. Yeah, you may screw up every once in a while, but you have peace with God. He'll help you.
Thank you, Lord.
Brush the dirt off you. Change your thinking. Get you back up on your feet. And get you marching and moving forward again. Amen. Because of our faith, verse 2, Christ has brought us into this place, here we go, of undeserved privilege where we now stand. And we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let's read that again. I don't think we get full faith by reading that one time. Yeah. Amen. We need to read this about 537 more times today. Because of our faith, see, faith is for receiving. Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. In other words, this privilege that God's given us, it's undeserved. You don't deserve it. Aren't you glad you don't get what you deserve? Amen. Stop wishing that on others. Well, I just hope they get what they deserve.
Yeah.
Now, if you hope others get what they deserve, then you're in trouble, Jack.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? Huh? When you get what you deserve. I don't want to get what I deserve. And I don't want others to get what they deserve. Amen. I'd rather get what Jesus deserves. Amen. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we when? Now stand. In other words, we're standing there right now. Amen. This place of undeserved privilege is not a place that we're trying to get to.
Yeah.
our faith enables us to receive that now. But you see, we've only received bits and pieces of it. We get saved, we get born again, and we get little things here and there, little breakthroughs here and there, so to speak. Amen? But what if we just, for lack of a better term, get so crazy with our faith to just believe God and to take him at his word, what we just read here, amen, that we can then begin to enter into this place of receiving in a better measure, where we now stand and where we can confidently and joyfully share God's glory, his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his power. Amen? Let's keep going here. Verse 3 says, well, you read verse 3 later. That's too much. Skip down to verse 12. Nah, go back up. We can take time. Look at verse 3. There's just too much. This is too huge. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us endure or develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Amen. Aren't you thankful he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love? We need to tap into more of the Holy Spirit so we can receive that love for ourselves and for others. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Isn't that true? And you think about it in the natural, they're a pretty good person. I don't know if I'd die for them. Right? Can we be honest? Right? You'd really have to think about that, wouldn't you? Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us, it says, while we were still sinners. We weren't an upright person. We weren't good. We were terrible. We were stinky. We were filthy. We were dirty. We were lost. Right? Full of sin. Amen? But he sent. God showed us his great love by sending Christ to die for us while we're still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. Or New King James says wrath. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still enemies. Think about that. Our friendship with God was restored while we were still enemies. You were an enemy of God, and Jesus made the step, the initiative, and he restored you to right relationship as an enemy of God. You ever have any enemies? You think you have enemies. In your mind, you have enemies. They may even be saved and born again, but they're not really enemies. That's good preaching. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in the wonderful relationship that God or with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Aren't you thankful you're a friend of God? Amen. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law to break. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Amen. For the sins of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it, right? Will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I'll read this again. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace in the face of the sin of the whole world, right? Even greater than that is the gift of God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness, right standing with him. It says, for all who receive it. And how do we receive it? By faith. For all who receive it by faith will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. I want to live in triumph over sin and death. What about you? So then we receive this place, we receive this grace, right? By faith. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and new life for how many people? From just the best of the worst? No, even the worst of the worst. Amen. See, he's no respecter of persons. The blood of Jesus is no respecter of persons. God's forgiveness is no respecter of persons. God's mercy is no respecter of persons. God's grace is no respecter of persons. Amen. Hallelujah. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, Jesus, many will be made righteous. Amen. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now, it says, God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now think about this. If we can trust God for the salvation of our eternal souls, why can't we trust God and receive this grace and receive this righteousness, this gift, receive it by faith, and trust him for everything else in between? Because there's a lot that can happen in this short period of time that we're here. 120 years seems like a long time, but it's very short in the grand scheme of things. And there's a lot that can happen here while we are here on this planet. And we can get saved and we can get born again. But we need to learn how to exercise faith and take delivery of what's already been made available to us in Christ. Amen. It's done. Jesus said it. It's finished. Amen? The forgiveness of your sin, it's finished. The healing of your body, it is finished. Well, if it's finished, why don't we receive it as finished? Amen. We need to learn how to receive these things by faith. And finish it, settle it once and for all. You know, Brother Hagin, You know, he talked to us a lot about this in school, and oh my goodness, he's got books out on it. So wonderful, right? And hopefully we'll see if we'll get to Mark 11 here in a little bit. But if we ever seems like we're having trouble receiving something from God, especially healing in our bodies, he talked about that. If it seems like, you know, there's something that's troubling us in our bodies, maybe, you know, there's, you know, an ache or pain that just keeps lingering, or you know, it goes away for a while and it comes back, or you know, something like that. He said, do a checkup on your love walk. Do a checkup on your love walk. Are you walking in love? Oh, I believe that I receive. Yeah, but are you walking in love? Because you see, if you aren't walking in love, faith works by love. Galatians tells us that, right? So then you're not going to be able to tap into and receive the things that you're saying that you know belong to you. You got a little yappy dog that's running up there on the road, nipping at your heels. Amen. A financial need, something like that. It just seems to keep lingering and lingering and lingering, right? Do a checkup on your love walk. Keep yourself in the love of God. Amen. Keep yourself in the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lay it out before the Lord. Lord, search my heart. If there is anything in me towards anyone, including myself, reveal it to me. Show it to me. Repent of it. Get it out of there so you can receive. Amen. We need a clear. Amen. When you stand praying, he said, forgive. Yeah. That's you know, that's what we call the Lord's Prayer. Remember, we did a series on that. Really wasn't the Lord's Prayer. It's, you know, he's showing us how to live that. Amen. Now, let's keep going here. Because we're going to this place. The gates are open. Amen. So we don't have to put limits on God. I'm not going to limit God. I'm not going to limit him with my ministry. I'm not going to limit him with my church. I'm not going to limit him with my family. I'm not going to limit him with my health. I'm not going to limit him financially. Let's take the limits off. Amen. Because you see, over in this place of receiving, there's any and everything that you need. There's no shortage of anything. There's an abundance. Heaven is not bankrupt. We need to ask bigger. Believe bigger. See, God's not got no problem with it. You're the one with a problem with it. Amen? Let's develop our faith in that area. Now, let's see here. 2 Peter. We're going somewhere. You still with me, right? Yes. Each service has a different flow. There's some things that the Lord wants to talk to us about today. I'm glad he's talking. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 from the New Living, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need. Notice that. By his divine power, God has given us, he has given us, he has given us, has, has. It's past tense, right? He has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You know, you can live a godly life by being saved and not live a godly life where your body is concerned. God's not being glorified in your body when it's sick or something's broken. You can live a godly life where maybe you're healed and you're saved, but then some things aren't just quite up to par financially. You're not living a godly life financially. To be godly means to live a godly life is to live your life like God lives. Or we could put it to you this way, to enjoy the same things that he enjoys. Like God. Amen. I don't know about you, you know, but I want to enjoy the things that he enjoys. He made provision for it. Amen. He made provision for it. Through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, he made provision for me to receive and live a godly life by faith. Just like God. So God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this. How? By coming to know him. So we know him in degrees. We come by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Now, let me read this to you from the mirror. If you don't have your mirror there with you, just listen to this. You ready? Better hold on to your seat because this will get you. By his divine engineering, he gifted us with all that it takes to live life to the full. A godly life. By his divine engineering, he divinely engineered this. You know what an engineer does? They engineer things, right? By his divine engineering, he gifted us with all that it takes to live life to the full, where our ordinary, think about this, where our ordinary day-to-day lives mirror our devotion and romance with our Maker. So he's gifted us by his divine power. He's gifted us with everything that he could give us. He's given us everything that he's got. He's withheld nothing from us, right? Amen? And he's gifted this to us where our ordinary, our day-to-day lives while we are here, right? Our ordinary day-to-day lives, they will be a reflection. Your ordinary day-to-day life will mirror, right? I'm going slow because we've got to get this. Our devotion and our romance, or our love affair with our Maker. He made it plain right here. Your life right now, today, is a mirror. Even though he has made all of these things available to us in Christ, where he has made all of the provision that we would ever need. He's made these things available to us in Christ. But your ordinary day-to-day life, it mirrors your devotion and your romance with him. And if we aren't receiving all of these things that have been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus, that's in this place of righteousness, that is a gift of God's grace, then we need to do a checkup on our devotion to him, our romance with him. You see, when you have a romance, when that love is flowing with him, between you and him, everybody else will be good. You're not going to struggle with everybody else because the love of God is going to flow through you. Amen? This is good? Well, let's keep going here. His intimate knowledge of us introduces us to ourselves again. In other words, he's trying to show you who you really are. Amen? His intimate knowledge of us How he knows he created us in Christ in this place that he put us in as a gift of his grace and as a gift of his love that's received by faith, right? His intimate knowledge of us, it introduces us to ourselves again. He's saying, hey, Herman, this is who you really are. Look. Amen. 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 He said, hey, Greg, look. This needs been met. You don't have to struggle with this anymore. This is who you really are. Stop letting the devil talk you out of it. Amen. He introduces us to ourselves again and elevates us to a position where his original intention is clearly perceived. Hallelujah. That is good ground right there to shout, to jump up and run around the church, whatever you want to do. But we can't. We got to keep going here. I want you to see this. Verse 4. This is exactly what God always had in mind for us. Isn't that awesome? It's exactly what God's always had. He's always had this in mind for us. Amen. Every one of his abundant and priceless promises pointed to our restored participation in our godly origin. Now, that is a whole lot for you to meditate on right there. Every one, it says, of his abundant and priceless promises to us from his word pointed to our restored participation in our godly origin. He wants you to participate in your original godly origin that has been restored to you better than it ever has before. Amen. Better than what Adam had it. Yeah. Amen. Amen. He wants you to begin to participate in that. Yeah. Amen. I want to participate in that. Yeah. Amen. This new place of grace, this place of obtaining, this place of receiving. Yes. Yes. Amen? It says, this is exactly what God always had in mind for us. Every one of his abundant and priceless promises pointed to our restored participation in our godly origin. It says, this is his gift to us. In this fellowship with God, we have escaped the distorted influence of the corrupt cosmic virus of greed. Now, in the light of what we are gifted with in Christ, the stage is set to display life's excellence. Explore the adventure of faith. Amen. Now, I know I'm giving you some meat today. I know I'm giving you some revelation today. But we're on this road and we're going down here. Are you still going with me? Yeah. Receive it by faith. Yeah. Your mind may kick in there and say, oh, I don't understand. No, receive it by faith. By faith, I understand it. By faith, it's mine. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He quickens my mind. He helps me to understand. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Stop saying you don't understand. Say, I understand it. The Holy Spirit's quickening me to this. Quickening this to me. Amen? Amen? So then, let's read it again. It says, now in light of what we are gifted with in Christ, in light of everything that we have been gifted with in Christ, right? The stage is set to display life's excellence. Then he said, explore the adventure of faith. Amen? It's all been provided. The stage is set. If you'll tap in with your faith, you can then begin to receive whatever it is that you've been struggling to receive. He doesn't want us struggling to receive anything. Receiving should never be a struggle. Healing should never be a struggle. Healing should be the easiest thing that there is. Prosperity in any and every area, it should be the easiest thing that there is. Why should it be the easiest thing that there is? Because we're saved. You trusted him with the hardest thing. The hard part is over. Amen. The hard part is over. You're going to heaven. if there was a hard part. It's all easy to God, but just trying to help us understand it. Amen. You getting this, Jerry? All right. Praise God. He says, imagine the extreme dedication and focus of a conductor of music. How he would diligently acquaint himself with every individual voice in the choir, as well as the contribution of every specific instrument, to follow the precise sound represented in every note in order to give maximum credit to the original composition. This is exactly what it means to exhibit the divine character. You are the choir conductor of your own life. Study the full context of faith. Discover in faith how elevated you are. And from within this position of your co-seatedness in Christ, new understanding will dawn within you. You have to download this. I don't have time to, you know, we'd be here all day. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, praise God. All the provision that you will ever need has been given to you already in Christ. Everything. What we need now, more than anything else, is a proper faith response. Amen. We need to learn how to have a proper faith response. Amen. Now stick with me now. I'm going to say something a little bit different here that you probably hadn't quite heard some things quite like this. It's okay. You know, we say things like faith is the hand that receives from God, and it is the hand that receives from God, right? Or, you know, we say things like, well, faith moves God. Well, depends on where you're at in the revelation of that. Yes and no. Because when you begin to look at it in the context of what's already been done, faith doesn't move God. Faith never moves God. God's already been moved. He's already done everything that he's going to do. Amen? Faith doesn't move God to move on your behalf. He's already done everything that he's moved. He's moved heaven and earth. He moved heaven to earth through Jesus. Right?
That's right.
Amen? Amen? So faith really doesn't move God to do something for you. Because it's done. It is finished. So then what is faith? Our faith is our response to what he's already done. Can you see the difference? Our faith is the proper response to what God has already done to us and made available to us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, this place of undeserved privilege that we didn't deserve it. Our faith is the proper response in order to tap into that and then receive it. We have been receiving so very little compared to what has been made available to us with our faith, because we're still waiting for God to do something. God's waiting on you to do something. Amen? Proof of that is this. Well, God healed so and so many people last night. Did he? Really? No, he didn't. Oh, yeah, he did. We had 37 people that got healed. Some got healed of cancer, some got healed of that. Now, don't misunderstand any of this I'm telling you, right? But in the light of all that, he didn't heal them last night. That's just when they received it. Last night is just when they received what he did over 2,000 years ago. Well, we got so and so many people healed last night. No. No. Can you see that? That's just when they receive. You see, we bring these things down to a natural level, and because our minds have been so unrenewed, then we think, well, God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And he does do those things ultimately. But as far as the blood is concerned, And as far as this place of righteousness, and as far as God's grace, it is something that has been gifted to us now. It belongs to me now. Healing isn't mine when it manifests in my body. Healing is mine before anything ever changes naturally. Healing is mine, and when you understand that healing is mine or provision is mine, then it happens then. See, we mentally ascend to these things, and we can say, oh, yeah, that's good, that's great, that's great, that's wonderful, that's good. But the truth of the matter is, our daily devotion with Him and our daily romance with the Master, when we leave here today, we're going to have to meditate on these things. We're going to have to work these things. We're going to have to keep exercising our faith for these things. Amen. We're not waiting on God to do anything. He's waiting on us to find out who we really are in Christ, amen, and receive what His blood has already bought and paid for on our behalf. It's mine. I don't have to earn it. I don't earn my healing. And you all know that the devil works on everybody. You do something wrong, you say something, you know, whatever, then you beat yourself up about it, and you go on and on and on. Everybody ever been there? But as far as the word is concerned, as far as the blood is concerned, if you'll just repent, you know, stop fooling around with the condemnation of it. He's not condemning you. Right? Then receive what you didn't earn. Isn't that good, James? Amen? You can't work for it. It's a gift of His grace. Because you're the righteousness of God. Amen? You have right now, I mean right now, and no matter, I'll bring it down to a personal level, I have right now a million times more than what I have received. But I've received a lot, and I'm going to receive a whole lot more. Amen? We have so much more that is waiting on us if we will have the proper faith response. Learn how to respond properly with faith. See, we still got to work on this and renew our minds, because we still think faith is, I'm still trying to get this, and I'm still trying to get God to do this, and I'm exercising my faith for healing. I'm exercising my faith for this need. And that all sounds great, but it's just a bunch of religious muck. Yeah, because you're confusing your thinking. We need to begin receiving on a higher level. Things need to be changing. Amen? I'm ready to receive on a higher level. Now, none of this, now don't misunderstand any of this. There's no condemnation in this message. Don't you receive any condemnation here. But I do hope you receive a challenge. Right? To begin to receive from God on a higher level. Provision is waiting on your faith. Your faith isn't waiting on provision. Healing is waiting on your faith. Amen? Your faith isn't waiting on healing. Selah. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. Glory to God. It's a finished work. It's a finished work. I hope this is breathing new life into your spirit today. It's a finished work. God has done everything that He's going to do about healing your body. He's done everything that He's going to do about doing this and doing that. He's done everything that He's going to do about prospering you financially. It's done. Amen? He's done it. It's bought and paid for. He's waiting on us to believe. Hallelujah. 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 Philemon. I'm looking for a clock. Don't you put it up there. That's a habit. Verse 4, it says, I thank, New King James, I thank my God, making mention of you in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Notice this, our faith becomes effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Our faith becomes effective the more that we begin to acknowledge everything that is in us already in Christ Jesus. You need to acknowledge the provision. You need to acknowledge the healing. You need to acknowledge what the blood has already bought and paid for on your behalf. Amen? Because there's far too many of us living beneath all that's been provided for us in Christ Jesus. I have made up my mind, I am not going to live beneath anymore. What about you, Carol? I'm not going to live beneath it. It's done. I'm believing. Amen. I don't care who it makes mad. I don't care who talks, who says what. Amen? Amen. I'm receiving. Amen. I'm receiving. I'm not going to argue with the answer. Amen. I'm not going to argue with my provision. That's right. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. We don't have to limit God anymore. No. Through doubt and unbelief. Take the limits off. Amen. God is only limited by what you can believe and receive. Amen? Glory to God. 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 There's that island. Take it by faith. Whatever it is, take it by faith. Because it's yours. Receive it by faith. There's something that you've been believing, or maybe, you know, standing, you think you've been standing in faith for, or maybe you've kind of settled less than for God's best in your life, and the Holy Spirit has pricked your heart today and has shown light and brought revelation to some areas, and you saw some areas maybe where you've missed it with your faith. Raise your hand. All over the building, okay? Stand up. Let's just all stand. And let's learn how to have the proper faith response in the face of a natural need so that we can receive. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is here. The anointing is here. Neke mondroste. Come here, stand with me, sweetheart. Give this by the Holy Ghost. Mandrefita pakazo do mandishti, baby. Oh, na mede bandre fete ki stodamai. Oh, stodamambo, stodamambo, siri mede bapa, stodamambo kushta, ikere mi, zunta.
So there is a place called receiving, a place that belongs to you as a believer, a place that belongs to you as a recipient of my grace. And so this place that belongs to you, it not only belongs to you in the sense that it's afar off, but it belongs to you in the sense that you need to dwell there.
Yes.
You need to live there. So begin to think of your receiving to think of it more in the realm of the instant and in the realm of now, because after all, did I not say now faith is? So begin to expect, begin to expect for greater results and quicker results.
Quicker.
When you believe, quicker. When you receive. And I just sense this in my heart, and it's just me, just it's not. It's an utterance. We need to begin to not keep looking at our response as coming eventually.
Yes.
We need to not look at when we pray and we believe for something, let's stop looking at it as if it's way out there and I'm going to wait for it. Because there's doubt in that. You see that? Because we're already gearing up for the wait. Instead of gearing up for the now. Now faith is now. Now faith is now. Amen. Now faith is now. So when do I receive? I receive now. Why? Because faith is now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Faith is, not faith was.
Faith is now.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Whatever you want.
Amen. Now faith is now. Praise God.